Good Arizona morning to you all. Man, I had a beautiful lightning show on the drive-in coming in from Whitman on 60. The whole White Tank Mountains would just light up. I was in the kitchen before I left. What was that flash? Who turned on a light? Man, the lightning this morning was beautiful. I haven't even seen or looked up the weather, but it's clouded skies all over. Hopefully we're in for a nice shower this morning. And a little lightning in the background. Is that inside or outside? Nice. We have a wonderful program for y'all this morning, and it starts off here in the 7 o'clock hour, our Arizona Interesting People, Places, and Things. And we're going to cover all three of those today. And we're going to do it with Sue Black, Executive Director of the Arizona State Parks. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you got to love Mother Nature, don't you?
What would we do without it?
Yeah, yeah. Lightning's the biggest thrill of all. I'm just an Okie from Muskogee, right?
And you are, you've been the executive director now for?
2.5 going on 3 years.
And the state parks are hitting their 60th anniversary
this
year?
Yeah, it's a real celebration. We're right in the middle of it. It started in 1957, so obviously 2017, and started by Ernest McFarland. So happy to be able to lead the team, and it's a real honor to work for the governor and actually the people of the state of Arizona and all of our national and international visitors.
And the Arizona State Parks and Recreation Association, which includes all state and municipal parks?
Yeah, city, county, state, all of us, we get together annually every year at a state conference. And then there's also, like everybody has, you have your state and national associations. But we just were hosted, and they put on one heck of a conference at the Sheridan. And I'll tell you, for all of us to get together and what all of us as an industry do for recreation and parks across the state, it was a sense of pride for all of us, and it was good for all of us to be together and kind of hit the ground running and get our batteries recharged as a team, no matter what jurisdiction you are. It was a good show.
And your jurisdiction, the Arizona State Parks and Trails, mm-hmm. walked away with 4 awards from that event too.
Yeah. I was really proud of the team and what they had done. Charles Etherly, he's been with the agency for almost, I think it was like 50 years. He got the Emeritus Award, and he's done so much, and he's such a humble man. To see him get a standing ovation from his peers across the state was it was a wonderful thing to see. His family was there. It was something really well deserved as he's going into his retirement. I don't want him to retire, so he's got to stay. And then another award that we won was for the Hot Shots, for the Granite Mountain Hot Shots, Arizona's first Memorial State Park. And while everybody else was celebrating their awards, this was not one to celebrate. We said it was a project that we wish we never had to work on, you know. And I said it's Arizona State Park's first Memorial State Park, and I hope it's its last. So, yeah, we really had a presence, if you will, where maybe the state parks previously hadn't had that. So I think my whole team felt really energized about what we're doing, really for the citizens of Arizona.
And we'll talk about that park, the Hotshot Granite Mountain State Park, in a minute. But mm-hmm. So that's 2 awards. You got 2 more out there. They said I was really going to have to pull one of them out of you.
Yeah. No, let's just keep moving. That's fine. We can talk about that later.
You received the Director's Award?
Yeah, it's a public official. Yeah, so that was a
congratulations.
I appreciate that. I just prefer team awards. You know, you go into an agency like this, and obviously not one person does anything by themselves. Granted, I'm the leader, but without everybody working together and all going for that common goal, none of it would happen. So the award that we're really looking forward to is to winning the gold medal. When the governor gave me the opportunity to lead this agency, I said I didn't want to just come in and maintain it. I really wanted to transform it and make it the leader in the country. And if you know anything about Governor Ducey, he wants every agency to be the best and to have the country look at us for best practices. So we're here. We made it to the Final Four. And
we're this is of all 52 states.
Yeah. Well, 50. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
52 cards, 50 states. Yeah, I gotcha. But yeah.
Not, I guess the point, not just the continental 48. This includes Hawaii, Alaska.
Yeah, we got the whole deal. So we're up against, like I said, Wyoming, Washington, and Tennessee. And you're in
three
front of
very green states.
Yeah. And they've got beautiful landscapes or whatever. But it's really not about who's got the biggest state park system or the shiniest, if you will. It's about the best managed and what you've done in the last couple of years, because it's really based on, you can apply every 2 years for the state park system. So literally, we'll be in front of thousands of people, and it's our own little Academy Awards, and they'll say, and the winner is. So my team will be on pins and needles. But I think it was a great goal for us, you know, because if you don't have a goal, where are we going? Just like I said, just to maintain it. So it was a kind of a rigorous competition. And when you look at all of the different aspects of what you have to put together, just like going for accreditation or something. But yeah, we're really proud of the accomplishments to date. And hopefully we will bring the gold back to the state, and we can all be proud.
And that will happen in New Orleans in September?
September 26th. It'll be a little bit after, sometime between 10 and 10:30 their time. So it'll be between 8 and 8:30, but who's counting? So literally, hopefully we'll have everything set and ready to go, that we can make that announcement immediately that if we win that. And again, it'll be a sense of pride for everybody of Arizona.
And you can go to Arizona State Parks, azstateparks.com. And the second slider that comes through is a header talking about the gold medal. And you can click there, and y'all have put together a 5-minute video.
Yeah, that was part of the competition. Mm-hmm.
It's well worth the watch. So,
did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah, isn't it something?
It is.
Yeah, it's got some good energy. So each state had to do that. And so if you want to watch Tennessee's, Wyoming, and Washington, you just get on their website so you can be your own. There was more to just the video. Obviously, there was the written application and the rest of it. But, yeah, we're really proud of it. And even just the scenery in it is pretty cool.
That is by far my favorite, especially this opening shot.
Isn't that something?
The Superstition Mountains. You've got this, you know, saguaro cactus right mm-hmm. there. All the elements for a Sonoran desert. Vegetation-wise, are right there with, I can't tell, is that a meteor shower? Is that a time-lapse shot with stars?
It's a time-lapse shot, and Princely is our photographer, and I was the chief of operations here back in the 90s and then went to run some other park systems, so when the governor asked me to come back, it wasn't new to me, you know, because I had known the properties very well. And Princely was the photographer at the time. And so when I came back, I'm like, hey, Princely, what are you doing? So he's updating everything. And in fact, at the at the conference, we won the some of the photography. And that was one of them that won. Isn't that just a gorgeous picture?
It is. And you've got mm-hmm. the hieroglyphics from Lyman Lake. You've got wildlife in there. I mean, it's, if you don't know Arizona,
just watch this.
Spend 5 minutes and you can't watch that and not think, okay, where am I going this weekend?
Well, it's the truth. And I think that's where, if people, we've got an app or however you want to get the information, it's out there for you. And we've got social media people on our team and our marketing team that are really doing some cool stuff. So like you said, if you don't know Arizona, there are some places out there that you should get to know, because it's right in your backyard, and you own it. These are our public spaces, you know, so why not go check them out?
Probably a loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
How many state parks?
35.
35, and you've obviously, as the director, you've been to them all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite mountain range?
Everybody always asks me what's my favorite park, and I always say whichever one I'm in, you know, because that's the truth. And I would say when you're looking for, you know, obviously that shot of the superstitions there and what have you, but it's really what you're looking for in your activity. So if you like to kayak, you can find your favorite places to kayak. If you like the historic properties, you can go travel the historic properties. So you know, there's just so much out there. The whetstones, there's everything. And no matter where I'm at, there's a new takeaway of what happens to you. And now adding, you know, hotshot state parks to it, it really, that's a whole different experience, like you said, that we'll get to later. But
for photography, I think it's hard to beat the superstitions and the Catalinas.
Mm-hmm.
Something about those mountains and the rock edges, and on a sunrise or when a storm's coming over, it's just...
Yeah, Catalina State Park. That one, I don't know if... I mean, I know a lot of people in Tucson know about it, but because that's becoming... You know, our parks used to be really rural, if you will, but now that Arizona's growing, they're becoming more like urban parks, and I would say that about Catalina State Park, but what a gem that is. And like you said, just the views, you know, and Arizona is so much about shadows and the beauty of what time of day you're taking in all those vistas, and yeah, it's amazing.
It's fun to get deep into one of them and just sit there and imagine what it was like 100 years ago.
Right.
200 years ago.
Yeah.
I think they've got evidence of that Santa Cruz River in Tucson that they've been able to date back close to 6,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a farming community on the river. What was it like farming there 6,000 years
ago?
Yeah,
how did they do it, right? But at the same time, some of the remote areas that you can get to, even if you look at some of the things that Roger Naylor does to tell us about it, you still go out there, and some of the places obviously are timeless.
That's the perfect word for it, timeless. And Cochise is probably one of my favorite to just sit there in the... It's a mountain range like you can't find anywhere else. It's so unique, and it's kind of its little standalone, and you've got the Dragoon Stronghold, and just what was it like being the remaining tribe just surviving, hiding in those hills for the time they did? It's quite an accomplishment.
Well, and we're just so rich in history, and I think that that's a sense of pride. So to really put Arizona on the map within the park and rec industry and things that we've been doing with the gold medal and marketing it, I'm really proud of the fact that a lot of people in the country are talking about what Arizona's doing right now. It's a really sense of pride, and that'll bring visitors in to come and say, oh, my gosh, we don't have that in Tennessee. The directors in the other states are my friends, so I can do that.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, joined with Executive Director Sue Black of the Arizona State Park and Trails. If you have a question, you can text in at 411-923 or call 1-888-767-4348 if there's something you want to know about your Arizona State Parks.
You and me go fishing, lying on a counting the stars, old grass grows.
It's 35 state parks.
Who's ever playing the music? I like that out there. You guys are doing a great job.
That's Mike behind the glass.
Nice, Mike.
But y'all don't run them all. You have a lot of partner parks.
Yeah. And I think that's
an interesting concept.
It really is. And it's a sense of pride for us. So back in, you know, 8 and 9, when the economy took a tank.
Let's not remember that.
Yeah, let's not remember that. But, you know, the parks were in peril, if you will. And there was a lot of different directions it could have gone in. But a lot of the historic parks at Yuma, Tubac, McFarland, Reardon Mansion up in Flagstaff, the communities really came together to keep the parks open. And there were contracts that were written, what have you. And so years later, now the park system is back on the rise. And we said, so are you going to take those partner parks back? I'm like, no. Well, why would you? Here you've got so many people in the local community that are vested in, that are, you know, kind of blood, sweat, and tears, and putting their
hearts. Thanks for helping us out. Let's rip it out.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Bye. Right? And so what we did is we wrote better contracts from more of a position of partnership and strength. And it's great, like the relationship with the city of Yuma. In fact, they've just renamed the park down there from the Quartermaster Depot to Colorado River State Park, which I really think they're turning, you know, a lot of communities turn their back towards the river, and now we're coming back to opening up those corridors. So anyway, so Yuma did it, and down at McFarland, we've put so much money into that park. We're redoing the roof. The infrastructure of these historic parks, they're not going to make you a lot of money, But in partnering with them and how we're figuring out to keep those structures intact for the next generation is really just part of the mission, even if it's not going to, you know, generate the revenue that some of the other recreational parks will. So Reardon Mansion, again, we're working with the Historic Society up there. They're managing the park for us. So if you're into the history, even at Tombstone, we manage that one. But there's a big event down there today as well. But either way, if you're into the history side of it, we've got plenty of that for everyone.
What's going on in Tombstone today?
It's not really our event, but it's the Dock Holiday. They're going to have the big parade, and I guess like 20,000 people go down there. People are a little concerned about the weather, but either way, I think it's going to be a really fun day down there. I've never seen that giant rose bush. As much as I've been down there for the courthouse and what we manage, I'm like, how have I missed this rose bush thing?
The world's largest rose
bush. Yeah, I gotta go see that.
Tombstone, Arizona.
Yeah, I gotta go see it.
I've seen pictures, but I haven't
seen
it personally.
Well, maybe we should go together.
We'll put this Dock Holiday event. We'll make it
next year.
A 2018 trip.
Yeah, next year.
How does somebody get this state parks guide I've got in my hand? It was
the green guide.
The green guide.
Yeah, we have them in the offices. We ship them out everywhere. We've got them in hotels. We try to get those in so many different places that people can pick them up because it's got all of the information. And even though a lot of it's digital on the website and what have you, sometimes people like those, you know, the hard copy maps or whatever. So we've just put a lot of energy into rewriting it. You know, sometimes you just kind of rinse and repeat, but we really, our marketing team, Carlos and the gang, they put a lot of energy into getting that all current and up to date, especially with new pictures and information.
And I didn't realize a lot of these places that I've been were state parks, like mm-hmm. Fool Hollow. Right. Lyman Lake. I had no idea the Arboretum at Boyce Thompson was the state park.
Yeah, that's a partnership. That's a partnership with U of A, the Arboretum itself, and State Park. So there's like a tripartite agreement between the three of us. We really have a lot of ideas of what we could do down at BTA, and that's what we call it, Boyce Thompson Arboretum, and being close to Superior, maybe putting in some camping and amphitheater, just bringing more programming out there. It's so beautiful if you haven't been.
And you aren't done. Y'all have more state parks in the works?
Not nearly done. We're just getting started. 60 years. We got to go put it in gear. Yeah. So there's so many opportunities out there to partner, again, with the Forest Service. I mean, that's how we got Slide Rock State Park, is it was a Forest Service property. We're talking about whether we're going to help or not with Fossil Creek. You know, there's so much potential there, but the management and the infrastructure need some assistance. But two of them that are completely in the works right now, we just had a public hearing, are Cattail Cove. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but if we call it the West Coast. So it's Lake Havasu and everything along the Colorado River. We've got five parks there. And they're all pretty close to each other. And if you've never been over there, you need to see them because the water's beautiful. The trails are great where you can sit and just, you know, watch the Colorado River or Lake Havasu itself. It's really something. But so Cattail Cove, we had about, I think it's 40 campsites, if you will. And then right adjacent to it was a private concessionaire that ran the park for us for about 40 years. And that contract had come to fruition. So now we're taking on the development of that, and it's going to be just gorgeous. And we also went out for an RFP, so there's going to be a restaurant, a bar, a tiki area, and the views. It's going to be amazing. So, like I said, we're out for public comment right now, and we're going to have the RV sites, and then the peninsula is really going to be open to the public so people can come out and enjoy themselves and take in the views. Nice.
Y'all do a lot more than just conservation and state parks. Each little one has a gift shop in it, And I was very, hang on, let me get your mic on. There you go. Yeah. Sorry, I've turned that
That's
off
right.
on you.
That's right.
I was very excited to see when you walked in, you all have these baseball caps and they're Bayside. And that.
It was fun that you noticed that because it was real important to me. Like, so we have a strategic plan that we're just finishing right now, and in the strategic plan, I put in there that the as much as we want our park stores to be profitable, that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to take home a memory. So I want a memory of something made in Arizona and or made in the United States. I don't want to sell things in our gift shops that are made anywhere else but Arizona or the United States. And so we have signs up, and it's funny that our sales have actually increased, I would say significantly, whatever number that is to you, but they didn't go down. And when people see the signs, or even you understanding that, wow, that hat's made in America, people are really resonating with that. Or, even our coffee mugs. I don't want something made in a different country. There's so many talented people here in Arizona that want to show their wares, and that I think people appreciate the fact that they can take those gifts that are actually made here and take them home with them so they have that memory. That's super important.
Yeah, we've been our 30th year anniversary is coming up for the radio broadcast, and one of the things we're going to be doing for that is selling products to raise money as a giving back campaign for our nonprofit partners.
Good for you.
But if they're not made in America, we're not doing it. And it took us a long time, but Bobby Brooks at Creations and Thread out of Wickenburg found these Bayside hats for us, and we've got a handful of prototypes. I mean, immediately I knew that was a Bayside.
I got
really excited.
You got that one right away. So maybe you and I should share notes on what the good products are, and if anybody else is out there interested in partnering with us, just look us up.
And how? Look us up where? Arizona State Parks?
AZStateParks, .com. I mean, we're all over the place. You can just, do your search engine. You'll find us.
Now, talk about the cabins, because that's another tie-in that they're all, again, Cavco right here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because, everything's going to tiny homes or glamping or what have you. And when you look at the
glamping, haven't heard that one.
You've never heard of glamping.
It's
like
glamping.
Glamorous camping.
People
want to get out, but they don't want to sit in a tent. So if you either have a tent or an RV, or you stay in a resort, but if you want to go out and you don't have that RV and you really don't want a tent, how do you stay in the outdoors? So right now we've got 1,500 campsites for Arizona State Parks and 30 cabins. So again, back to the strategic plan, I want to have 3,000 campsites, because if you look at millennials and just all the bar charts are going up on people staying in the outdoors. And so I'm like, well, how are we going to get these cabins? Because if any of the listeners know or don't know, we don't have any general fund money. We don't have general fund. We don't have Hansman fund. We don't have the Heritage fund anymore. We don't have any of that. So we have to live and die by our revenues. And that's why I've brought this real entrepreneurial, we need to run like a business out there, but we need to have these opportunities for people to stay out there. So we actually did an RFP. It's a bid, a request for proposal. And Cavco put in a bid, and we worked out a wonderful partnership with them, where actually this Arizona company is going to finance these 100 new cabins coming in, and we're going to pay them back on a revenue share. It's a really interesting model that, again, other people around the country aren't doing. And I'm really proud of the partnership. Plus, it helps Cavco, jobs, the partnership. It's just great. And at the end of the day, the public are going to have these wonderful cabins that that they can stay in. We're also making the cabins, this is details, but we're making them dry cabins. So new restroom shower buildings that you can go to. But I won't have to, for future generations, they won't have to buy water heaters and sinks and all of that other infrastructure with the cabins, so that people can, the cabins will just be less maintenance for future generations. So real excited about those going in. So right now we've got them at Patagonia, which is going to be great, that people are going to be able to go down and stay on the lake. Dead Horse, we're putting them in. We're Lost Dutchman. They'll be at Rockin' River, so, the new state parks at, yeah, anyways.
Backing up
a
little bit just for the listener, Patagonia, that's south of Tucson.
Correct.
South of, oh, what's that? Sonoyta.
Right.
South, further south of Sonoyta. And there's a
beautiful lake.
I mean, you're driving and it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, again, I tell everybody these are your state parks and get to know them. I'm sorry that I talk like I, because I know them like the back of my hand. Like, what do you mean everybody doesn't know about Patagonia, you know? So I guess that's, anyways, but.
And Lost Dutchman's, you're back at the superstitions here.
Yeah. And again, as you look at, you know, Mesa and Apache Junction and all of that growing, again, that park is becoming so popular with hiking. On a Saturday morning, you're looking at that and it's pretty packed. And so we're looking at all of the acreage out there and what we can do to accommodate that.
Dead Horse State Park, you're up in Cottonwood, Camp Verde. Camp Verde is where you would turn off and you go into Cottonwood. And that's actually where I did my Eagle Scout project, was at Dead Horse State Park.
And
built an equestrian bridge.
Yeah, good for you for being an Eagle Scout. That speaks to your anyways, I'm proud of you. So, but also working with Cottonwood, you know, they have a trail network plan. I changed the name of the agency, or we did, to Arizona State Parks and Trails, because trails are so important. And what we want to do is connect the park with the city trail so that you can walk down to Old Town Cottonwood, do whatever you want to do, eat and have a good time, and then come back to the park and stay in those cabins, which I think is going to be fantastic.
That would be a nice little loop, because that is another one of those that's right in town. I mean, you're just driving along and you see the sign and all of a sudden you're in this beautiful state park.
Right. Where it used to be that we were out, but again, as these communities are growing, and I think everybody knows Arizona is becoming more and more popular, that our parks are becoming closer to those centers. So we have to connect those trails. And I've got a great trails team. The things that they've been doing under Mickey Rogers and his team, and we've got these interns that are doing some of this GIS stuff that is really a model for the country again.
And I don't see it on here, but Dead Horse State Park, and there's Toosie Goot. Is there any connecting trails, or is that a different?
No, there are. And again, that's where the public doesn't know the difference, and they shouldn't, between city, county, state, national parks, what's Forest Service, what's BLM, what's this. That's why we moved our offices. We're up on Highway 17 and Pinnacle Peak. We're right by, well, not right by, but very close to Game and Fish, and we're really working hand in hand with them. But we named the building the Outdoor Rec Info Center, because we shouldn't have to have all these different jurisdictions to say, where can I go? So if you're going up to a region, we don't just promote our stuff. We promote all of the different things that you can do in the region, no matter who manages them.
That's fun seeing that, because it is so much. It seems like, you know, I'm competing against this and competing against this. Work it together.
Exactly.
I mean, you're outdoors. All these things can be beneficial.
Yeah.
There's so much you can learn from each department. There's no reason to compete.
Right. Exactly. And just the connectivity of all of it. And even with the private sector, on what other things are there to do there, you know, where to, with the restaurants and all of the other amenities. So that's where we've been partnering with the Department of Tourism as well. Debbie Johnson is the executive director over there. And if you don't know about the Department of Tourism, what she's done for the state, she's an amazing leader. And having that, we actually share a person now in our offices, just to make sure that we're communicating, because parks and tourism obviously goes together. But she's done an amazing job, and I love that partnership.
Is there a place in Arizona you just kind of go to get lost?
My backyard.
Yeah, your backyard.
To
recharge, just step away for a couple days, disappear into the wilderness.
Yeah, well, you can't take me to a park because it's work for, you know, I notice everything. I just, you need to take me to an aquarium or something. But Rockin' River Ranch State Park right now.
And where's that one?
That's up in Camp Verde, and that's going to be another one of our new state parks. So as you go into Camp Verde, you come down Salt Mine Road. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's nestled between the Verde River and the mountains right there at this Forest Service property. And it's about 400 acres. The Nature Conservancy has another couple hundred acres to the north of it. And it was purchased by the state park system in 08, I believe.
So this is different than Fort Verde.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that's a historic park. Yeah. But this is going to be a recreational camping park, day use for the river, that this next Wednesday we're having our third open house to really bring the public in to help us design it, and really trying to be as good partners with the neighbors as we can be. But for the state to have the state park, and only for somebody like the director to be able to go and see it and get lost, as you say, I'm like, we've got to open this up to the public. You know, we could keep this for ourselves and never do it, but obviously that's not the right thing to do. So I cannot wait until the public can get out there. And whether you want to go camping, stay in a cabin, or just float down the river. Just really excited for people to be able to access that.
And you can float a long way. It was about that 2009-ish time. I can't remember exactly when me and two of my buddies I grew up with in New River, Daniel Westfall and Danny Sharp, we dropped in at Camp Verde and we took kayaks and had a friend pick us up 3 days later at Horseshoe.
Yeah, that's exactly how, and that's the name change, Arizona State Parks and Trails. And whether they're off-highway vehicle trails, we run that program, RTP, the non-motorized trails, really been partnering with Jan. She's been great for the horseback riders, working with them. But then if you look at it, it's the water trails. And who would think about Arizona when some people don't really understand how much water we do have here? Is to really get tell people where can you put in and where can you take out, I think is another part of that untapped information for the public that we're trying to get out there.
I heard a statistic somewhere. I've never been able to find it again to research and see if it's true. But of all continental 48 states, Arizona has more shoreline than any other state in the country because of the mountains and the rivers and you know, they may not be flowing 24/7, but they have Arizona has more shoreline. And I would love to be able to figure out where I heard that and to verify it. But that's the desert. Who would have thought?
Well, I can't verify it for you, but I can tell you as soon as it starts to rain, we all go outside. Colt, he's the park manager down at Patagonia. And again, trying to get into social media and to have our managers and our rangers and everyone taking pictures so that people can experience it, even if you can't be there. But the, one of the last rains, boy, he showed this wash coming through. And even in the office, we're all looking at it. I'm like, I want Colt's job. You know, I want to be out there. But he does a great job down there. But it's fun to share those experiences. So whether it's those types or Snapchat or whatever, we're really going to start to try to share those experiences and those venues with the public so they can go see them.
ArizonaStateParks.com, AZStateParks.com. If I typed in Arizona, would it redirect to AZ State Parks?
I hope so.
Me too. You can find all the information we're talking about there, the trails, the parks. There's over 35. And spend 5 minutes and watch the Arizona State Parks Trail video that they had to put together as part of this competition that they've now are down to the final four. And this is a competition between all 50 states on who's got the best state park systems. And you find out in New Orleans on September 26th who walks away. And we're
at 10:10 and it'll be 8:10 here. So hopefully the governor and his team and everybody will just be able to take a sense of pride in that, because that was the goal from day one.
And we're up against Tennessee, Wyoming, and Washington State.
Correct.
What happens if we win?
A deep sigh, and then we get up and we go back to work. You know, you can only apply every 2 years, and I think the first what's a lot of it is the transformation and setting those goals and our numbers, record revenue, and attendance, and all that type of thing. If we wouldn't win, God forbid, but if we wouldn't, we'll apply 2 years from now. And I really think at that point, it'll be about all of the new amenities that we brought to the public that and the new parks and the new stuff that we're doing. If you one other thing that I think is interesting, if you look at state parks as a franchise model, we don't have a state park north of Flagstaff between Flagstaff and the Grand Canyon. You know. It just
got to get one there.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, plus the Grand Canyon is, you know, to take some of that pressure off, you know, to assist. Chris is the new superintendent up at the Grand Canyon. If you haven't met her, we're so lucky to have her managing, first woman to ever run the Grand Canyon as well. But boy, she's really doing some amazing things up there, and I'd love to partner with her.
And you can hit the road with your very own Arizona Staycation.
Nice job on the music again.
But I want to finish talking about the state park we never should have built.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough one. So I first took over. I wasn't here. I was in Wisconsin when the tragedy actually happened. So now I'm the new director, and they tell me that I'm the chair of the committee. And at that point, there was a turning point of we're either going to get this park built. It was a mission, and to do it for the families. So there was a board. There was a group that came together, but it was really about the families and getting it right. So, long story short, we had to purchase the property. We had to get the easements. Just all this bureaucratic stuff that's behind the scenes. But I'm proud to say that within I don't remember if it was a year and a half or 2 years, but that we built the park and we didn't call it opened it. We dedicated it, and that was November 30th of last year, and that the families and the public and the firefighting community. And anyways, it's kind of tough to talk about because I don't want to either way that it's there and it's going to be a dedication to these guys for decades to come. And when you hike this trail and you take it all the way to the site of the tragedy, you come out a different person. It's about a 2 mile trail on the way in. And every tenth of a mile, if you will, it's another marker for each of the different guys. And then at the top, we have an overlook, and it takes you down the journey trail because that was their final journey. But I really encourage everybody to pay their tributes and go hike that trail. And even if you can't make it the whole way, at least try some of it. So, but I brought you something. So it's one of your...
And they're making a movie for the Granite Mountain Hotshots.
Yeah, yeah. It's Only the Brave is the name of it.
I don't think I can watch it. That morning, mm-hmm. It was actually afternoon, I walked out to feed. And from our home in Whitman, you can see the hieroglyphic mountains. You can't see Yarnell,
right?
But I could see the smoke coming over, and there was just this strange haze. And I've seen forest fires. I've been in Arizona my whole life. That's nothing new. But there was just something about that day, and the calmness, and the something else is really wrong. And
yeah.
I went back inside. I turned on the news, and it had just hit that 19 had died, and it was just
yeah.
It was like a freeze frame time lapse that I'll never forget that. I don't think I can watch the movie.
Well, the trailer came out and that was tough. And, you know, having built relationships with a lot of the family members and, you know, Amanda Marsh and what have you, it's touchy, you know, it's soon and it's, but I'm glad that the park is there and that we got it done. It wouldn't have happened without APS and without the families and without all the partners that made it happen. And my team, Skip Varney, he's one of our deputy directors, that he was out there every day actually, you know, building it with these ace crews from across the country. But anyways, on the back of the hat that I'm going to give you, which is one of the American-made hats, it says Esse Quam Verde, and it's a Latin term for to be rather than to seem. And the guys all had it on their shirts because I asked the family, was there a saying or was there something? And it was, you know, to be the hero, don't act like the – be the father, be the husband, don't act like the husband. And I think we can all learn something from how we can each be better, as Andrew Ashcraft would say. So here's on behalf of the –
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to switch that out as soon as I take my headset off.
Yeah,
and we'll
there
get a picture.
Go.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What we're not going to have time to cover the Arizona Staycation. I'll bump that to the 9 o'clock, wrapping this up. How does somebody get there to the...
You just go through Wickenburg and you go... what's the highway? Anyways, you go through Wickenburg and you head up to Yarnell. 89, but then you got to loop back around.
You have to go up to Yarnell to circle back around.
Yeah. Well, there's a left-hand turn right there but before Yarnell, but...
I go into Yarnell and buy lunch.
Yeah,
support your local community.
Well,
you got some nice little cafes.
I will tell
there.
You this: that I think people understand what a state park in their community means to the economy of it. And even if this is a tragedy and a terrible park that we wish we never had to build, I think we're part of helping Yarnell rebuild. There's a city park in town that I want to find money to help the city park build it, because I want people to park there and then have a shuttle, because we only have 15 parking spaces. There's no way we could have built enough parking spaces or had the money to on the side of the mountain there. So that's my goal, is to finish that city park, to tell the story of Yarnell, and then to have the shuttle go back and forth. So then the bathrooms and everything, and they'll be built in town. So my goal is to raise some money to get that done as soon as possible.
Executive Director of Arizona State Parks, Sue Black. Man, what a treasure this hour was.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I wish you guys could have heard us when we were offline during the... Anyways, there's so much to talk about. But at the end of the day, you guys should all be proud of your Arizona State Parks and Trails. You own them. You should use them.
Anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.